Georgette Rowland here of the Financial Gym, and in this installment I'm going to talk about the parts of a fitness plan, financial or otherwise, that are most commonly missed out, and then people wonder why they fail. I'm going to call this part numbers and crunches. Now, when we try to lose weight, it makes sense to keep track of how much weight we have lost over a given period of time. Yes, agree? So, for example, we may weigh or measure ourselves at the same time every week, whether at home, at a weight loss group, or at the gym. Mine was always on a Monday morning, so that it set me up for what I needed to aim for the rest of the week, and plan for it accordingly. If improving fitness is the goal, we assess how good we are at an activity now, and we compare that to how good we were when we started or when we last measured, as I discussed at great length in the Inflows versus Outflows podcast. So we check the numbers to determine things such as, how many pounds have you lost if you're trying to lose weight? How much more muscular are you if you're bulking up? Centimeters lost or gained around your waist, hips, thighs, and so on. The increase in distance you can run without collapsing. The increase in the size of the weights you can now lift, and so on. For this, we need to establish a method of measuring that will keep us informed of our progress. Otherwise, we are working blindly. Now, you know where I'm going with this. It is imperative you apply the same principle to the financial performance in your business. The trick is finding the best way to do it that is not only understandable for you, but is sustainable over the long term. I cannot stress enough that even if you followed all the tips that I discuss in the other podcasts, but you neglect this part, you will struggle to know whether you are succeeding or not. And even if things appear to be going well, you will still not really know by how much. And most importantly, if things are not going well, you will be in the dark as to the total extent of your problems. If you do not track the numbers, your decision making will be based on little more than guesswork. Not to put too fine a point on it, if you do produce regular accurate accounts, your likelihood of running out of cash and ultimately going broke is greatly increased. Despite this, well over 60% of business owners rely on gut instinct and whether there is enough money in the bank when they need it to determine how well things are actually going. Shocking statistic, factor in that if you looked at your own industry, that includes 60% or more of your competitors. Now imagine if you are one of the minorities that is tracking your financial figures. That alone will put you in a better position of outlasting your competition. Never mind whether you have better products and services, marketing, and so on. Anyway, back to methods of tracking. Think of bookkeeping software and data in the same way as weighing scales and tape measures. You can look in the mirror at your reflection. You can test how your clothes fit. But neither of these gives you accurate information you need to check your true performance because, as I say, they're just indicators. You could actually have lost no weight at all, but you lost inches. How would you know without measuring this? For those who are or have been through weight loss, do you remember that ever happening to you? Weighing yourself and feeling disappointed because you'd lost nothing, very little, or even gained a few pounds. But when you took measurements of your waist, hips, arms, etc., being pleasantly surprised at how toned you had become since you began. That's because you got specific in your tracking. How advantageous would it be if you were dealing with real figures specific to your business? If an interested party were to ask the following questions, could you answer them? They are, do you have more money or less in the bank this month than last month? Now that may be an easy one to answer, but do you know the reasons for the difference? Another question, what are your actual sales in relation to your expenses, i.e. your profit? Do you do more sales each month or less? Over the last 3 months, is money coming in quicker or slower? Can you anticipate or predict your expenses for the next 3 months? And do you know whether you will have the cash available in time to cover those expenses? Can you predict the amount of money likely to come in over the next month, 3 months, 6 months? What elements of your business eat into your profits the most? How much better or worse are you doing this year than you were at the same time last year? This is indicating whether your business has improved or declined over the last 12 months. Now, I will lay myself on the line when I say this to you. Ditch the spreadsheets. You know what I mean. Those one-dimensional things that your accountant gives you, knowing full well you are unlikely to use properly and that will need untold tweaking at the end of the year if there is to be any hope of producing decent-looking accounts for your tax return or business rates. Spreadsheets are invaluable for a whole host of calculations, but producing easy-to-manipulate accounting records is not one of them. Guaranteed, if you have minimal transactions, especially those of you who are just starting out, then a spreadsheet to get you going is fine, and of course will save you money on software, assuming you already have spreadsheet software like Excel at your disposal. Nevertheless, if you are serious about growing, you cannot be basing your business decisions on rows and columns. You need proper reports. Many of the reports I discussed in part one are produced automatically if the number crunching is being done regularly in your software. A spreadsheet will not grow with you, or it will need to become increasingly more complicated to cope with your changing circumstances. Now, I take on board, you may be an Excel wizard and capable of setting up very sophisticated spreadsheets, but why would you do that when the market is awash with products already specifically designed for this purpose? This is like trying to fit an engine on a bicycle. Just get a car. It doesn't have to be a Bentley, as long as it gets you from A to B, as they say. I never tire of seeing the clouds lift from the eyes of new clients when they get a profit and loss report, or graph in many cases, that relates specifically to their business. Without fail, the numbers are always a surprise in some shape or form. The aim is over time to reduce those surprises. As your ability to compare your forecasted numbers with your real results improve, whether you do it yourself or have them done for you, you will be able to predict your finances much more accurately. And if you implement effective changes based on them, if you do get surprises, more and more of these will become pleasant ones. The choice of accounting software options in the marketplace is just staggering to me now. When I started out, there was a product called Pegasus, which was the market leader. And would you believe it, Sage Accounts was a small player fighting to get even a modicum of market share. A little David tapping at the heels of the Goliath that was Pegasus software. It's amazing when you see what a market leader Sage has since become. And I bet many of you probably have never even heard of Pegasus, or if you did, forgot it existed. Then the Americans changed the game again with QuickBooks, which spoke accounting terms using everyday language. In recent years, the move to online or cloud-based accounting has increased or created a more diverse platform with more contenders such as Xero, Cashflow, FreeAgent, and FreshBooks. No one software suits all businesses, and there are many variables to take into account, pardon the pun, when deciding which software to go for. The decision alone can cause enough confusion to a business owner to stop them moving forward and simply just stay with the spreadsheets. Even in my business, where we come across most of them, we still evaluate which will be the best choice based on the actual company's needs and not because we have a preference. No matter how many features, reports, platforms, whether online or desktop only, regardless of how sexy the software supplier makes it sound, just buying it will not solve your day-to-day bookkeeping and accounting issues. Obviously, you need to understand how the particular piece of software works. Many of the online ones are lovely to use, but are aimed at quite straightforward businesses such as sole traders and freelancers, coaches, tradesmen, or very small, limited companies. If you have chosen your software and are comfortable using it, the next criteria is to be consistent in putting data regularly, otherwise there's no point. I was recently approached by a networking contact that was paying a monthly fee with an online supplier, which also provides accounting support. So he was paying a little bit more than you would if you were just paying the software. But he was concerned because as the business was growing and getting busier, they were falling more and more behind with the bookkeeping. He said he was still managing to keep on top of the sales, but struggling with the expenses, which meant he'd clearly not been reconciling the bank accounts as there was so much missing info that it was getting to the point he felt there was no point in doing it. He kept going back to the provider who would get one of their online accountants on the case, and they would play catch-up. Now, while this was very helpful, he'd have to pay extra for this, and he still did not have the thing he really wanted, regular, up-to-date, accurate management information, because he was constantly getting it months or weeks after the fact. Then, assuming you understand the software, you use it regularly, how confident are you that the information that you are entering is correct? You know what they say? Garbage in, garbage out. How exciting for an accountant to get a new client who says they do their own bookkeeping and shows they have invested in software with the expectation that periodically, or at least annually, this new client will be able to provide them with workable data that they can turn into accounts with ease. Until, horror of horror, the accountant realized that when they do get the data, they are spending more time undoing or correcting the information or entries made by the business owner or the business owner's team member. Or after the initial enthusiasm of doing it, the business owner realizes they don't have the time, the knowledge, or the experience to get it done. But the number one reason I encounter that they don't do it is that they just don't want to. Even if it begun that way to save costs, or they're in what I call startup passion, the minute growth-orientated entrepreneurs realize that they can get rid of the books, that is exactly what they tend to do. The difference between successful business owners or entrepreneurs, and to be frank, the majority of other business people, is that the successful ones ensure that it will continue to be done once it has been set up, and they put in place the systems and or the people necessary to make that happen. Whether they take risks to build their business, they do not take reckless risks with their money. Now, what are the consequences of poor bookkeeping? The answers to this are numerous, but the main ones are: 1. They form the basis from which your budgets, cash flow forecast, profit and loss information, tax returns, VAT returns, corporation tax, etc. can be created. Otherwise, all these reports are little more than guesswork, as I have stated over and over. Next, your year-end accounts and self-assessment tax returns are based on bookkeeping figures. Knowing what we know about the state of many people's bookkeeping or accounting, it should not stretch the imagination too much to believe that many accounts and self-assessment returns filed with the authorities are in fact full of errors and miscalculations and only escape fines from the tax office because they slip through the net and are never discovered. People with no or poor bookkeeping systems tend to end up being the ones paying more to their accountants because more time needs to be spent doing what should have been done during the year. The same people or companies often end up paying late penalty charges to the revenue because their accounts are produced late. Even worse is being unable to pay taxes on time because of not having the data to hand and the records as they go along to enable them to plan for what they think the bill will be. So it's a surprise at the end of the year, and then they don't have the money. Another big area is if an established business needs to borrow, one of the things a bank or an investor will want to see is a record of the financial history now. And the year-end or annual accounts are often insufficient because they want to know current information, not what was done at the end of the year, 6, 7, maybe up to 10 months ago. Has the business had a continuation of the successful period? Have things improved or have they become worse? And what is the owner or director doing about it now? These things bring us nicely to the next part of this course.